Stay tuned for more Jazz America with me, Russ Davis, right after the news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting, topping the news, a deadly blast at a Pakistani mosque. Pakistani authorities say at least 58 people were killed, more than 50 others wounded. It happened in a powerful bomb blast at a minority Shiite mosque in the Sindh province and during Friday prayers. Jindallah, a splinter group of the Pakistani Taliban, claim responsibility for that attack, the latest in a rising tide of sectarian violence in Pakistan. U.S. military says a coalition airstrike killed an Islamic State chemical weapons expert last week near the Iraqi city of Mosul. That news came hours after Iraqi Kurdish forces withstood and repelled a major attack by Islamic State fighters in Kirkuk province. Edward Uranian has our report.
Kurdish Peshmerga fighters exchanged volleys of automatic rifle fire with Islamic State militants Friday south of the oil-rich city of Kirkuk. The surprise Islamic State attack bore witness to the group's resilience despite a series of setbacks in both Iraq and Syria. Islamic State militants also detonated a car bomb inside Kirkuk in a failed attempt to break into a prison by breaching the walls of the city's police headquarters. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
U.S. prosecutors have charged a third American citizen in connection with last month's attempted coup in Gambia. The Justice Department said Friday that a 41-year-old U.S. resident with Gambian citizenship is charged with conspiring to invade a friendly country. On Thursday, another U.S. citizen pleaded guilty to charges related to the attempted overthrow of President Yahya Jammeh's government. This is VOA News. African Union called Friday for a regional five-nation force of 7,500 troops to defeat who they call the horrendous rise of the Boko Haram. The call for a collective action came as leaders of the 54-member bloc opened their two-day summit that's happening in the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa. AU leaders are also discussing the economic recovery of countries affected by the Ebola outbreak. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon spoke to the assembled leaders.
We are seeing clear signs of progress. I urge the international community to commit more resources at this critical time. This outbreak shows the risk that fragile health system poses for our interconnected world.
Worst outbreak of Ebola in history has seen nearly 9,000 deaths in a year, almost all of them in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone. Fierce fighting continued Friday in a strategic town in eastern Ukraine as a new round of peace talks between Kiev and Russia-backed separatists failed to materialize. Ukrainian authorities say seven civilians were killed Friday by rebel shelling in the government-held town of Davutseva, a rail junction that connects two rebel centers. Witnesses say Ukrainian troops and pro-Russian rebels exchanged tank and artillery fire. And the people in eastern Ukraine's Donetsk and Luhansk districts find themselves squarely in the path of the advancing rebels who want to take back the territory they held at the beginning of the conflict last year. And many of the residents are worried and afraid, as we hear now from VOA's Al Pessin reporting from the town of Pasmana.
At City Hall, workers prepare plastic sheeting to patch damaged windows and roofs and worry about the rebel advance.
I'm scared, very scared, but what to do? We're leaving. We don't have any place to go, so we live and work. We work under shelling. It's scary, but still.
A statue of Lenin still presides in the Popasna city square, and the winter gloom seems to accentuate the mood. Part of a story with geopolitical implications is playing out here, and whatever their political leanings, local residents feel profound change may be coming again to their once ordinary town, where not long ago no news was made at all. Al Pessin, VOA News, Popasna, Ukraine.
Host Australia takes on South Korea in the Asian Cup final today in a blockbuster clash between two of the region's heavyweight teams. AFP reporting the match pits the tournament's most prolific attack against its meanest defense. Get more news at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Welcome to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with two living legends, Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock, as they remember how they electrified their sound and changed their career with their work with Miles Davis. Russ Davis here, and let it be said that not only did Chick and Herbie change the music in their career when they got together with Miles Davis, but he wanted them to help him change the music in his career by electrifying his sound. We'll hear a taste of that during this next hour as we talk to Chick and Herbie and hear the music they made with Miles Davis. We're going to hear some classic music because this is a listening session and a bit of a history lesson, but I also want to always keep you up to date with the newest music coming out and, from time to time, play music from artists I've never played for you before. And that's the case with what you're about to hear from a quartet led by drummer Robert Jospe. He calls this album Robert Jospe Express, and it's in two parts, two discs, one classic songs and one more modern songs. And from the more modern side of things, here is a medley of two songs made famous and written by the great writer and jazz man of days gone by, Eddie Harris. Listen here in Cold Duck Time, the Robert Jospe Express, beginning this hour of VOA's Jazz America. Thank you.
Chick Corea giving us one of his classic songs, Captain Marvel. He's recorded that in various settings over the years, and that's from the album The Ultimate Adventure. Russ Davis here, hoping you're enjoying this edition of VOA's Jazz America, certainly filled with a lot of electricity and a lot of electric jazz, because that's the focus of our conversations with two living legends, Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea. In this case, Chick Corea joins us to give us some thoughts about the great Miles Davis, a mentor to him and many other younger jazz musicians who worked in his bands over the years. We'll enjoy some live work with Chick Corea and Miles Davis after we hear from him here on Jazz America. Something you said a second ago, you said the writer finds the musicians, has the musicians in mind to make the music they want to make. I talked to Dave Holland about this one time. Why did Miles hear him at Ronnie Scott's and want him to come to New York, uproot his life, and come and play with him? And he came. I said, did he ever tell you what it was he was looking for in you? Did he want English guys, you and McLaughlin? Now I'm asking you this, Chick. Did he ever tell you what it was that he... I know he wanted you to play electric piano, but did he ever say to you or in some way emote to you what it was that you had that he that would help him facilitate making manifest his musical ideas?
You know, Miles was a spiritual cook, meaning that he was fully aware that the effect of his music was the result of the quality of his band. As you saw, his Miles didn't compose songs that much, but undeniably every standard or composition from another that he got in his hands, he would rework to make it his own, everything that came his way. But the first element that I feel that he was aware of that was the most valuable element were the musicians. That's why I call him a spiritual cook, because it's spiritual chemistry that we're talking about. It's the chemistry between musicians and how they work together and how they take his basic direction and basic idea and turn it into a work of art. So that's what he used. He didn't need to write things down on music paper, you know, as much as he knew he needed something, and so he would recognize that a musician had a certain quality, whatever it was, or a certain set of abilities. And then he was also had the courage to test things out. Because, you know, guys would also come through his band and go out the back door. They come in the front door and out the back door, you know. Then there were guys that would stay longer in his famous groups. The one with Coltrane, Red Garland, Philly Joe Jones, and Paul Chambers, right? Wow. The one with Herbie Hancock, Ron Carter, Tony Williams, and Wayne Shorter, and on and on. So... I think that was the operation. That was the method that the basic method that he used to produce the brilliant art that he did.
Now let's hear some of that brilliant art that he made with Chick Corea on electric piano. And in this case, recorded live at the Isle of Wight Festival in England in 1970. He had Gary Bartz on alto sax and soprano sax, Keith Jarrett on organ, Dave Holland on bass, and Jack DeJohnette on drums, Ayrton Moreira on percussion, of course, Miles on trumpet, on It's About That Time, playing in front of 600,000 people, the largest audience a jazz musician has ever performed for. And here is that classic work from Jazz America from VOA 1. We'll be right back. Great Bill Evans Trio, recorded live in Northern California, Sausalito to be specific, in 1964 from the album Bill Evans Trio Live and How Deep is the Ocean. Hope you enjoyed that. I've got more coming up in our celebration of the 72nd birthday and the incredible life and career of Gary Burton here on Jazz America. But first, I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, at, that's the at sign, voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received from a long-time and very loyal Jazz America listener. He is James Stack. He lives in Hunters Hill, Australia, and he gets in touch quite often with comments about each week's program. And here's one that he wrote me right at the end of 2014 after enjoying the special show we did in celebration of the great Art Blakey. He said, "Russ, Art Blakey was a superb teacher. Art Blakey and his pupils have a legacy." James Stack. Well, James, you are absolutely right about that. I could go on and on and on with a major list of fantastic artists from various generations who worked with Art Blakey and went to what I call the University of Art Blakey. And one of them is the great trombonist Curtis Fuller. I want to give you the title cut from his solo album with his own young band. He's been quite a teacher himself. It's called Down Home. It's from 2012. Curtis Fuller and some of his latest work here on VOA's Jazz America as we celebrate another of the pupils of the great Art Blakey.
Thank you. would I wait here when you sigh? Never in my woodland could there be ways to reveal in a phrase how I feel. Have you ever heard two turtle doves, Bill and Coo, when they love? That's the kind of magic music we make with our lips when we kiss.
Once again, that jazz in the 21st century is absolutely an international art form. That is a trio from Tampa Bay in Florida that call themselves La Lucha. And the three members of that trio hail from the United States, Mexico, and Colombia. Now, that's part of the reason why they have that Latin rhythm mixed in with the sound of the classic songs Lullaby of the Leaves and Lullaby of Birdland. They call that a lullaby medley mashup. And the vocalist that you heard joining with La Lucha was born in Japan but raised in Venezuela. Like I said, jazz in the 21st century, an international art form. And our special guest on this edition of VOA's Jazz America, Gary Burton, has been all over the world, so much so that he is the perfect judge to compare USA jazz fans with those from around the world.
This comes up frequently as a point of discussion. There's no doubt that jazz has become very international, that it's one of the most widely popular forms of music now in the world, and it is identified by other countries as being a very American thing. I think it might be unfair, though, to say that it gets more respect in Europe or in Japan or something than it does here. It's a different kind of audience dynamic. The people who say to you jazz gets more respect in Europe are those musicians who haven't been successful in the U.S. but have been in Europe. There are other types of musicians that have been successful in the U.S. as well as Europe, and I think they would be more likely to say it's not that it's any less appreciated here. It's our society is structured a little differently, and it manifests itself in a different style. And frankly, if I had to make a choice about where I would tour, if I could only tour one culture in the world, I would tour here. There's this sort of, you know, assumption that because the style of being a fan in Europe is to be very up on the history of the music and, you know, to treat it almost as a classical yes. kind of thing, that, you know, doesn't mean a whole lot to us. Mm-hmm. They know more than we do about who we played with in early groups and what tunes were on which records. That doesn't matter. The reason we don't remember all those details is just that those are unimportant. What counts is how you relate to how the audience relates to you, and you relate to the audience. And frankly, to me, the audiences here are every bit as fun to play for as the European and the Japanese, and or anywhere else that we play. And after all, this is home.
Harry Burton from his latest release with his new quartet, featuring Julian Lage on guitar, Scott Colley on the bass, and Antonio Sanchez on the drums. The song called The Lookout from Gary Burton's quartet record, Guided Tour, his latest work. And it won't be his last. Of course, seven-time Grammy Award winner Gary Burton should be an NEA jazz master at this point in history, in my humble opinion, and will be in the future. You can count on it. This is Russ Davis. Thanks for listening. Here's a little taste of international jazz from another gentleman who would be celebrating a birthday if he were around today. Back in 1908, the legendary Stefan Grappelli was born on the 26th of January. Here he is with Barney Kessel on guitar, recorded in Paris in 1989, doing Limehouse Blues on Jazz America from VOA 1.
This is Pat Metheny. You're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis here on The Voice of America.
uplifting song with a Latin feel comes from the Pat Metheny Group album Letter from Home. It's called Better Days Ahead. Pat Metheny, of course, a longtime associate. Our special guest this week, Gary Burton. We wish him a very happy 72nd birthday. This is Russ Davis. Thanks for joining me for Jazz America on the next edition of the program. Features Miles Davis and his effect on two of the living legends of jazz keyboards today, Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock. Herbie and Chick will talk about how Miles Davis led them to electric jazz and their sound and style, as well as the sound of jazz, was changed forever. That's next week on Jazz America on VOA1. Thanks for joining me, and join me then, won't you?